Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Today's next step of recovery is renewing my walk daily with the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Here's Paul Chapel.
To provoke unto love and good works. That means if someone in our church is really faltering or struggling, we need to think about them and care enough for them to try to encourage them back in the ways of God. And you see, Christians fail because they simply don't seek that kind of support, or they won't make themselves available to be encouraged in that way. They will not attend maybe enough, or they will not make enough of a commitment so that someone would have the freedom to try to encourage them in that way. And we live in this freelance day of Christianity where we want to, you know, kind of determine how involved and so on and so forth, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is that we need to recognize that as we are committed, as we are a part of a family, and as we are a part of a church family, there's greater opportunity to encourage one another to live for the Lord and to enjoy total restoration and recovery from the sins and difficulties of the past. I think, for example, this church has 20 adult Bible classes. Adult Bible classes are caring communities for believers that meet on Sundays at 10 o'clock and have monthly activities. And within those classes, there are something called care groups where several individuals pray for one another and minister to one another if there's a hospitalization or a special need. There's opportunities for discipleship through these classes where you can sit down with someone on a personal basis for a number of weeks and just kind of get grounded in your faith. But you know why Christians fail? They never take advantage of those kinds of opportunities. They never get into those classes at 10 o'clock. They never get involved in discipleship or attend some of these opportunities through the church. And because of that, we grow weak, you see. The fact of the matter is that God never intended Christianity to be a solo act. He intended for Christians to gather together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's a reference to the return of Jesus Christ. As His return draws nigh, we don't need to get lazier and lazier spiritually, but we need to be more committed to the house of God. And then the third reason that Christians fail is because we become prideful. we become prideful. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we need to remember the lesson of the whale. When you get near the top and you're ready to blow, that's when you're going to get harpooned. And a lot of people are that way. We think we can handle it. We've arrived. Boy, we're doing great. And then all of a sudden, boom, the trial comes. Often our pride causes us to blame others. Often our pride causes us to rationalize our sin. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Boy, don't ever say to yourself, I'll tell you what, I'd never leave the faith and live like that guy. Don't ever compare yourself with someone else, because the truth of the matter is, but for the grace of God, any one of us could be laying in a gutter this morning. Every one of us need to just thank God for His grace in our lives. Why do Christians fail? Because we become prideful. Now, secondly, how can we prevent failure? How can we prevent failure? I don't think anyone's here today planning to fail in their spiritual walk. I think we'd like to avoid failure. And that's why the title of today's message, Renew My Walk Daily with the Lord. It's got to be more than just a few hour a week thing. The Christian life is a relationship. Every moment of every day, we walk with Him. But how can we prevent failure? How then can we renew this walk with the Lord? Perhaps some of you have done what I've done over the years, and maybe you've attended some seminars for time management or organization. Maybe you've read some books about how to make the most out of your day and so forth. And oftentimes these seminars and books will talk about determining the core of your life, the center of your life, what matters the most in your life, what are your roles in life. And they'll talk about identifying the roles and then setting appropriate goals for those roles. And I think there's some merit to that. I think there's some merit to asking yourself, what matters most in life? And I think as I write out those roles and I review them on a daily basis, I think about my role, first of all, as a man of God. Because if I'm right with God as a man and as an individual, then the other things are going to come in their progression. I need to be right as a man of God and as a husband and as a father and as a pastor and in the other capacities that God has given to me. And I need to lay those out before the Lord on a daily basis. And I need to say, Lord, I don't want to fail in my walk with You today. I know He'll never fail me, but I don't want to fail Him. I don't want to fail my family today. I don't want to fail my church family today. I don't want to fail in this community to have the wrong testimony. And so, Lord, I want to meet with You today so that I can renew my walk with You. And I want to talk to you for a moment about preventing failure by meeting daily with the Lord. And I think, first of all, as we consider this subject of meeting with the Lord, we need to make regular evaluations of our lives with God. We need to make regular evaluations of our lives with God. And we could talk about daily, weekly, monthly, whatever, but I'm going to give you two categories this morning. First of all, daily. At the beginning of the day, we need to just stop. The Bible is replete with illustrations of the Lord Jesus Christ before the sun even came out, meeting with His Heavenly Father in prayer. Early in the morning, it says, He came and He prayed. And we need to begin our day with the Lord in this way. The Bible says in Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You see, Jesus says, I want you to watch and pray. Be on guard, because your flesh is weak. And so we need to really realize the importance of just being watchful on a daily basis. Now, as we make this daily evaluation, I've given you a little acrostic maybe to help you in the matter of that evaluation. You notice in the notes the word heart. And there are many areas that you could evaluate, but here are five for you this morning. First of all, the letter H, am I hurting today? Is there an area where I have not appropriated God's forgiveness? Is there an area that I need to deal with? Have you ever noticed that some people, it just doesn't take anything to just tick them off? I mean, it doesn't take anything before they're ready to just fight over something, or you accidentally cut them off on the road, and man, they're just ready to crash into you, and they get so frustrated. You know why sometimes even Christians get that way? Because there is unresolved hurt in their life. They've never had a daily evaluation. They've never honestly forgiven someone. So H, am I hurting? E, am I exhausted? Lord, You've given me this body as a temple, and sometimes we get to that point where we need to just pull aside and schedule for time of rest. A, am I angry? Lord, is there someone I'm angry with? Is there someone at work that I just can't wait to just give them a piece of my mind? And Lord, is that what you want me to do? R, do I resent anyone? T, am I tense, anxious, or fearful? And if I am tense, anxious, or fearful, why am I? And we come back to Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Now the reason we ask these questions is because these are some of the very issues that drive people right back to anger, right back to the bottle, right back to their escapist mentality where they spend hours on the internet because they don't want to face reality, because they don't want to face their problems. And so we need to square up with these issues on a daily basis. Lord, how am I doing here? Am I holding or harboring anything that you want me to confess, that you want me to offer forgiveness for on a daily basis? And then I wrote down, secondly, quarterly. And you could do all kinds of other variations of your schedule, but I just thank God that here at Lancaster Baptist Church, for the men and for the ladies, there are some quarterly special events, and for couples as well. And I think about gentlemen coming up in the month of June, the men and boys camp out. Men and boys camp out for me over the years has been more than fishing. It's been more than, you know, shooting in the rifle range or hiking up a mountain. Men and boys camp out has been a time for me to have a real evaluation with God and just to really hear some old-fashioned preaching and to really try to come to grips with how am I doing spiritually, to make an assessment of where I'm at. How am I toward my wife, toward my family? Where is my heart for God? And as we have sign-ups for that next week, a lot of you guys ought to get signed up for that and say, I'm going to go up there, not just to have fun, but to make a spiritual inventory. I think about the ladies' retreat for the ladies and the opportunity just to really see how's my heart as a woman for God? How am I doing in this matter? And the quarterly men's barbecues and ladies' nights out and mother-daughter teas. And I think about some of these special events, the couples' retreat for couples to go and just to say, Lord, we're here to evaluate how we're doing as a couple. You see, God wants us to take time to really renew the walk with Him in these areas. Bible says in Mark 6:31, and He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Boy, sometimes the ministry can get that way. And for pastors, but you know, sometimes it gets that way in your life. You don't even have time maybe to stop and eat. And Jesus said, hey guys, we need to pull apart for a while. We need to do some inventory, some evaluating, some prayer, some talking with our Heavenly Father. And so we need to make regular evaluations if we're going to sustain momentum. Secondly, we need to meditate on the Scriptures. Psalm 1 verses 1 through 3, verse 2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate both day and night. Now, as you make these evaluations, let God's Word be a big part of that. I had someone ask me one time, well, how do you meditate on the Bible? How do you do that, you know? When we think of meditating, we think of, you know, someone sitting over in a corner in some little orange gown, you know, staring at rocks or something. That's not what it's all about. Let me help you with what it means to meditate. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. How many of you know how to worry? Oh, yeah. Well, God says, I want you to meditate in my word both day and night. Now, meditation is the positive. It's the opposite of worry. And we need to take some things out of that worry compartment, and we need to take some scriptures and begin to meditate on the meditation of the word of God. And God says, I want you daily to have something from my word that you're meditating on, that you're thinking about a lot. And here we see the importance of meditation as a way to have a successful evaluation of where we're at spiritually. So we evaluate, then we meditate on the Word of God. Thirdly, we pray. We pray. And we say, and we acknowledge to the Lord, Lord, if I walk in my flesh today, I'm going to fail. Lord, I need Your Spirit to guide me today. I need Your help in this hour. Now, some people think that prayer is more of the issue of a public show rather than a personal revealing of our heart to God and asking for His help. I heard about a man one time who was an attorney, just started off into his practice. In fact, he really just got his office. He had his desk set up and he had his new chair and had his credenza on the side over there. He was so excited to be out of law school, to pass the bar, to get going with his new practice. And as he came in, a lot of things weren't hooked up in the building yet. He didn't have any power and so forth. And yet he just was so excited to be there. He put his feet up on that new desk. And as he did that, he heard some steps coming down the hallway towards his office. And he thought, you know, I don't know who this is, but I'll let him know some things that I know about being an attorney and so forth. So as they came around the corner and into his office, he picked up his phone and he said, well, yes, tell him the deposition will be tomorrow at 3 o'clock and cancel my 2 o'clock appointment. Oh, excuse me, one second. Yes, sir, how can I help you? The man walked in the office, had on jeans and kind of a work outfit. He said, yeah, he said, I'm here to hook up your phone for you. You know, a lot of times people think prayer is sort of, yeah, well, all right now, our Heavenly Father, and sort of a public thing. But you know what really counts is our personal private time of prayer with the Lord, you see. And that's where it really matters. And Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 6, I believe, maybe in your notes. He said, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. You know, a lot of various Christian groups are really into that today. Jesus, 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 just saying His name so often and saying words over and over and over again. We need to be careful about just in vain repetition speaking. He says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You see, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, Jesus says, I want you to say to me, I want to show you the disciples' prayer. Lord, my flesh is weak. Lord, deliver me from temptation today. Help me to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I saw a bumper sticker once I thought was good. It said, if God is your Father, call home. And we need to, on a daily basis, just say, Lord, deliver me today from evil. Help me today. Now, finally, what's the reward for a Christian? What's the reward for the Christian that meets daily with the Lord? Well, first of all, before we even get into the daily part of this meeting, let's be reminded that if you're here today and you are saved, you have been born again by the Spirit. Not talking about renewal right now, talking about beginning. If you have ever made that first-time decision for Christ, your reward is that you are at peace with God, because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all unrighteousness, and you are not the enemy, the adversary of God. You are the friend of God by His grace, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every person here today that is in Christ can be at peace with God. If you are in Christ, you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I heard about a little four-year-old who was reciting John 3:16 the other day. And he said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall live happily ever after. Now, he got it generally right, amen? Shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. If you are here today and you have accepted Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. You have a home in heaven for all of eternity. You are at peace with God. But now, it's one thing to be at peace with God positionally. It's another thing to be at peace with God, or to know the peace of God relationally. And that's our second point, the peace of God. You see, the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And His pathway is a path of peace. Now, sometimes people don't understand what it means to have peace in their family, for example. Someone told me not long ago, they said, well, in our family, in order to have peace, we need to have patience, love, forgiveness, and 2 television sets. But you know, in reality, if you want to have peace in your relationships with people this way, you need to be at peace with God this way. If you can get a husband and a wife at peace with God this way, their relationships horizontally are going to go a lot better. So as Christians, we have peace with God, but then we are asking for the peace of God in our everyday relationships. One of the verses that's helped me a lot in my Christian life is Psalm 119:165. It's in your notes, and it says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's what the peace of God is all about. Now, if you want a benchmark for where you are in maturity as a Christian, what does it take to offend you? And if you are very easily offended, then you are still quite immature in appropriating God's grace in your life. Because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. By the way, I'm not putting you down. I'm just simply saying the more you grow in God's word and God's grace, the more of a forgiving life you live, the more of a peaceful life you live, and it doesn't take every little thing to tick you off. Sometimes I'll have folks, in fact, many times I've had folks come up to me over the years, and they'll apologize for something. And not that I've arrived. Boy, I've got a long ways to go in my Christian life. But, brother, first of all, they'll apologize for something that never fazed me, that I never thought of, that never offended me. And yet, I'm glad they apologized, but I'm also glad that it didn't bother me in the first place, you see. And then when there are those things that potentially could bother me or potentially could bother you, I've got to flee to the Word of God and flee to the grace of God so that I'll not carry that along with me, because I don't want to simply have peace with God, but I want to live my life with the peace of God every day. You see, I don't want to be ticked off and harboring anger at other people. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Now the God of peace, Hebrews 13 says, that brought again the dear Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. God says, I'm the God of peace. I want to make you mature so that you can do the will of God. And so here's the question this morning. Is your recovery, is your restoration, listen, some of you have been in church 3 months now, 6 months now, is all of the good that God is doing in your life, is that going to continue? Or are you going to find yourself looking back on this as a fleeting myth? Something that you thought would work, but nah, didn't work for me. It's just a crock. I gave it a try. Or is this matter of really walking in recovery with God going to be something that's real and growing and dynamic in your life? And the key is daily renewal. The key is daily coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm going to fail if I start relying on myself. Lord, I want to trust in Your Spirit today. I want to walk in Your Spirit today. Coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to ask You today to help me to appropriate Your Scriptures as I evaluate my heart and as I meditate on Your Word and as I pray to You. I want to ask You to help me to have continual momentum of growth in the Christian life. Now, for some of you this morning, the question is not renewing and continuing momentum. Listen, for some of you, the question is beginning, you see. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, some people here today are being challenged to walk in the Spirit. But some of you need to be born in the Spirit, and that happens when you hear the message of Christ and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're born of the Spirit, then you can walk in the Spirit. And so today, I pray that for those of us who are here who need to be renewing our walk with the Lord and walking in the Spirit and not the flesh, that we would say, Lord, whatever it is that hinders me, I lay it down to You. And help me to meet with You tomorrow and meditate on Your Word. And then for those that are here who've never had that beginning, that you would come to Christ today and accept Him as your Savior, that you might begin to walk in His Spirit for the very first time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for these many scriptures that teach us how to walk with You daily. And I pray that You'd bless them to our hearts. Help us to make decisions today upon the truths that we've heard from Your Word.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying recovery together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that He intends you to live as His child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chappell with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.